ITL Fantasy Podcast Network presents In a World of Football Podcasts That Sounds Like This.
Welcome into our podcast on Suck Talk Radio.
And talk like this.
Wah, 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 wah. Don't draft the running back, wah, wah.
Because they're not.
So much fun!
Bogman, let's not overreact here.
The In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt. He has no idea where he's going.
I think I'd rather shit my pants in public, to be honest with you.
And the Welsh.
I think that, you know, they would have like a...
like what they did to their real doll the night before.
Oh, no, I'm dying.
Playing on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
I've never like LARPed or anything like that.
What the f*** is a LARP?
Coming to your ears. Now.
When you start something good, everyone wants a piece of it. Take light beer from Miller. Now there's lots of light beers out there saying they're less filling. Heck, that was the easy part. The hard part is brewing a light beer that tastes great. That's why light's always brewed only with the finest ingredients. To let all that great beer taste come through for guys like you and me. The taste that's made light beer from Miller, America's favorite light beer.
Hey, I always thought it was easy opening cans.
Hey, you get a tough case of athlete's foot. The itching, the cracking, the burning. You want a medicine that acts tough. Boom, Tough Actin Tenactin. Clinically proven Tenactin cures even tough cases of athlete's foot fungus. Get Tough Actin Tenactin.
Boom! It is the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Bogman. It is Welsh. And it is week 17, and we had to say goodbye to, I mean, the icon of the NFL, a football icon from so many perspectives and crossing so many paths, by the way, whether it was, you know, my grandfather's era where he was a Raiders fan and grew up as him with a coach, whether it was John Madden as an iconic play-by-play guy with Pat Summerall, or him literally being the name of football video games, and they just released, I believe it just came out, and they're re-airing it. Christmas Day, they released a documentary series called All Madden, and we lost the great John Madden at a very interesting way they put it, by the way. He's 85 years old, and they're like, unexpectedly. And it was just like, oh, all right. I mean, I guess there was like nothing going on with him, but so unexpected part, but you know, when you're 85 and you're at that age range, I'm not sure anything is that unexpected, but the late, great John Madden, those are a couple of the commercials. It's something I want to point out because everything you know about him as, I mean, from color commentary, just the best, you know, all time, just getting fun in, creating the turducken, what was it?
Turducken.
Turducken, the turducken crap.
Dude, they talked about that in the special, about that.
Of course.
It's a little place in New Orleans that they said they sold 23 or something the year before, and then they sold 6,000. The year after Madden.
Oh, so. I honestly, if this happened like 3 weeks ago, there would have been 20,000 sold for Christmas if this would have just happened. But you've got, you know, great coach with the Raiders. I mean, if anything, coaching.
Highest winning percentage of all time for any coach that coached 100 games or more.
And you know what's interesting is I think on the pantheon of things for John Madden, it might be the bottom of the list.
Coaching?
Because check this out. So you've got. The play-by-play, which is one of the greatest of all time. I mean, as much as people are going to hate it, the duo of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman is going to like probably be one of the most iconic, like long-term, especially in like 20 years. Because
at the end, yeah.
At the end,
I understand what you're saying.
We grew up and like our parents grew up with Summerall and Madden, and that's like that is it. But Buck and Aikman are going to kind of like go in that general range for much longer. So you've got the play-by-play of John Madden. You've got the video game, obviously, like Madden itself, you know, he was the cover guy up until 2000, and then the contract came done, and what they ended up doing was they signed a lifetime deal instead of him being the cover guy for the original games, that they used his name because they were going to actually let him go, and they decided to, they signed some lifelong deal, and that 2001 was the first time that Madden went with an athlete, and it was Eddie George, and SportsGrid actually put a tweet out of all the covers, and Bogman, I had thrown out that like that one, the Eddie George 2001, is the most iconic to me because that was the big turn.
It's funny that you mentioned that because like I feel like everyone's talking about either the Eddie George cover, like you said, first one with a player,
yeah,
or the Mike Vick cover, the 2000.
I said that was one and two in my eyes.
But for me, it was 1998 with John Madden on it. That was the one that I remember the most because that was the year I actually switched over from game day to Madden.
Good
was
point.
98.
And so. I think Jerome Bettis was like a big piece in that game as well. Like he was
game
one of
day
the big 98? Players.
Yeah. Well,
no,
he
no
was,
Madden 98.
He was a game day 98 cover.
Okay, but Bettis, I think he was like really good in a Madden.
Well, that was his huge year.
Yeah, Madden 98 was, or whatever yeah. it was. Yeah,
I think he had a great year 97, so he was really, really good. But like, you know, I read Madden's book about him, you know, never wanting to fly and everything. It was, you know, it's called like, hey, I wrote a book or something like that. Yeah, it was some, you know, very
that's a good that's a good impression, actually.
You know,
boom.
It was, yeah, boom.
I wrote a book. Boom.
yeah. So, you know, it was, I just remember him talking about him, you know, first that book was half about his issues with flying. Yeah. Right. Because that's why he always took
the Madden
Cruiser,
yeah.
the huge bus. Right. And I didn't realize that the very first bus that he took is now in the Hall of Fame.
That
like
makes
the
sense.
Hall of Fame, you know, has it and restructured it and, you know, spruced it up and everything. So it looks like it did. The first year he took it, which I believe was 1980 or 81 or whatever. So, but I remember him. He was at what's the rotating restaurant in Phoenix? The one,
no
you know
idea.
What I'm talking
I,
about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's a building downtown in Phoenix with a restaurant at the very top of it, and the whole thing rotates like it goes around the city skyline.
The great, so, best thing you want to do when you're drinking and eating, by the way, is be on a rotating building at the top.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's super slow.
I know.
I went up there one time, and it's super slow. But he realized that is where he realized he had like a fear of flights and
he was just up high.
You know, claustrophobia and things like that. Was yeah, because it was moving. And all that stuff, as he described in his book. So, but I mean, just the.
Well, here, I'm not done with the
okay,
other
go
portion.
Ahead. Because, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Because I wanted to bring back down the point. One thing I did want to point out is it's funny you brought up the game day thing because you and I played. I had game day 99, and that was the last version of that. That the 2001 Eddie George one was the first time it went to like a new gen console. I want to say it was the PS3. That it was like, it could have been the PS2, to be honest with you. It could have been the PS, but it was like PlayStation jumped to a new system, and the Eddie George one was like, it was crazy.
That was PS2.
Yeah, so it was PS2. It was when PS1 went from PS2, and the Eddie George game was like one of the first games that was available of Madden with the Eddie George cover, and that was a big one. But here's back to where I was going. You'd say color, color commentary. You'd say the video game, which is probably number one if you're ranking it. What I played at the top, I am actually really impressed with. You didn't get to see it because I was just like playing it, but here I'll put it up here. Oh wait, I took it away. So hold on a second. Well, those commercials.
The boom! Tough act, instant action.
Yes,
like that'll never go away.
That's
brain,
actually
never.
My point. Is he's actually a really good actor. Go back and listen to those old 80s commercials. Impressively,
dude, they were showing clips of him on Saturday Night Live, and I was sitting there going, I can't believe how good he is at this.
Dude,
very good.
I pulled that up. I'll do. Let's see, SNL. I actually had that up as a thing I was looking at if we were going to pull anything in. This was him on SNL and it in a skit with Eddie Murphy, which was pretty hilarious. And there's, of course, a commercial. But I'll play it here in a second. My point is he was a great actor. I was also thinking to myself, there's no chance. I couldn't name you one coach right now that could go and do commercials like he does. Like Sean McVay's stupid chunky commercials. They're
you
all
mean
awful.
You have...
They're all off. All
what
of
about
those.
The Bill Belichick Subway commercials?
Yeah, but I'm saying Madden. Like, if go back and watch it here, I'm gonna pull that up actually before we do this. I just want you to see this was because look at his acting here when this one right here. This is the very first one I played. So let's just watch him.
When you start something good, everyone wants a piece of it. Take light beer from Miller. Now there's lots of light beers out there saying they're less filling. Heck, that was the easy part. The hard part is brewing a light beer that tastes great. That's why light's always brewed only with the finest ingredients. To let all that great beer taste come through for guys like you and me.
Look at that. That's good. He's a good
that's
actor.
Pretty strong,
that's a
man.
Pretty
yeah.
good actor. And he held some chops there with, like I said, this like right here.
Can you hear me?
This is on SNL.
Are we on? This is John Madden, and I'm standing here in the locker room of the Cincinnati Bengals. Somebody has to win, and somebody has to lose. And on this Super Bowl Sunday, it was the Bengals who came up short. And they're taking the loss pretty hard. Tough game, tough loss. But the fight was fair and it was
Are you
really...
kidding me?
Eddie Murphy.
Are you kidding me, man? Did you see the out-of-bounds call at the ref board? Man, that thing was a big payoff, man. I want the country to know it was a big damn payoff.
Archie, that's a pretty strong accusation.
Ain't no damn accusation, man. It's the mob. It's the mob. The whole other team is run by the mob. That Francisco dude, he's in the mob, man. I'm telling you, man. I buy my pills and stuff from him, man. And he got Jimmy Hoffa. I'm serious. The dude got Jimmy Hoffa buried in his driveway, man. In his concrete driveway. No one in the world to know this, man. I'm shot.
That's the last kickoff he'll ever fumble.
He won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, when they handed it to him, he...
Joe Piscopo, by the way, and I could keep going. But my point, getting back to this long, drawn-out thing that I'm doing here, my point was, is that the acting that he did wasn't a big thing, but boom, tough acting, tin acting, that's iconic to him. So if you think of the John Madden icons, him as a coach is probably fourth on that wheel behind the video game, the announcing, the iconic commercial, and then him as a coach with the Raiders, even though he was called coach. That's what you call
him. Right, he's Coach Madden. And that's just, you know, a lot of people have hit this home over the last couple days. He's probably the most iconic personality in NFL history. Like
nobody does more impressions. You know, his impressions might be right above his coaching, by the way, all the impressions people do.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, Frank Caliendo made a career based off of, you know, impersonating John Madden.
Frank Caliendo lives here in Phoenix, and a radio station I was working for.
How many times have you seen his sister open for people at Santa?
I have definitely seen his sister a couple of times, but I've been around him a couple of times. And I remember we were running a remote at, it was like a tire shop or something embarrassing. So there was something embarrassing that you do in radio. And I was just doing the tech stuff, and there were two hosts there, and Frank came in, and Frank was just destroying my equipment with how loud he was doing. And the two things he killed it with was his Al Pacino, and he kind of went at me because I was trying to, like, adjust the volume and laughing, and his John Madden. And he did his John Madden for, like, 5 minutes straight on air, because that's what he would do, is the stupid host would come on and be like, what would John Madden say to this? And then he would, you know, and Frank would just be a comedian and go on about it. But, I mean... In person, it's insane. It's not like any of the bits you see put together.
It's Jimmy Kimmel's sister, by the way.
It is Jimmy. You're right. It's Jimmy Kimmel's sister that I have seen 400 times open up for Mark Maron and everything. But yes, I've seen Caliendo in person out here, worked with him, and he's done that impression. Career's built. So again, that's above, I think, his coaching, which is just, it's just ironic. It's fun maybe for 10 minutes to kind of look back on what you said is the best point here is he might be one of the most iconic sports figures out there that has spanned into the 70s. You know, like my grandfather's passed, but he was a diehard Raider fan. And, you know, that was his growing up. So, I mean, that's a guy that has spanned 50 years at least of our minds.
And Aikman talked about how Madden basically, you know, narrated his career because Madden called all the Super Bowls in the 90s that the Cowboys were in. And
he called
a lot of your Niners Super Bowls as well against the Bengals.
Hey,
stuff.
That Bengals bit right there has to do with the 89 Super Bowl where the Niners beat the Bengals.
And his last career game call was Super Bowl 43 when the Steelers beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl with Santonio Holmes catching it at the end.
I think the most important part about this is, you know, you could go on and you could be like, oh, this guy did this and this guy did this and blah, blah, blah. But no person has spanned that much amount of time with being as relevant, even though we haven't seen like look at Chris Berman. You know, Chris Berman was in our minds for like 30 years or something like that, but he's just kind of like faded off. Madden couldn't fade off as Thanksgiving NFL would talk about him in his video game. Like, that's what I'm saying. The video game kept it going, where that is a person that stayed relevant and important in football culture for 50 plus years.
Another big thing about John Madden is I don't think that I've heard anyone ever say, like, there are people that would get annoyed with him because he was everywhere, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone say Madden was a jerk. Madden was mean to me. Madden was blah, blah, blah. People have bad days and leave a bad impression with someone much everywhere. But I've never heard a single person that interacted with Madden more than once or twice say that he was a jerk to them or I didn't like him. Never once. No. I've got to be somebody out there. You know, you live a whole life. You know, you meet people that don't like you for whatever reason. But I've never heard anybody say that about everyone who crossed paths with him for longer than a day said he was helpful to me. He was loving. He was great, you know, and that's just, that's Madden, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we don't usually spend that much time talking about like these type of things. It just, that was like crazy, you know, it was just crazy to see it finally happen. And also pairing with that documentary series that I think ESPN is going to be re-airing a couple times called All Madden. If people want to check it out.
Yeah, it's Fox, because he worked for Fox. So it was on, you know, they canceled the Holiday Bowl last night. So it was on during that. So then that's when I watched it, because I wasn't able to watch it on Christmas Day. So, but it is fantastic. And for those of you that are too young to really know Madden, go back and watch it. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have no recollection of coaching, but absolutely the broadcasting. The broadcasting is permanently instilled in our childhood and everything like that.
I think he quit coaching before, I think it was 1980. It was like
before
we were
born. Yeah, exactly. So take that, suckers that are listening that are older. We weren't even born yet before it. We, you know, always be remembered, and, you know, we'll live in forever in the video game side on Madden. And I feel like we need to play some Madden now here soon over on the Twitch, twitch.tv/inthisleague. It is week 17. You're probably in a championship. I'm not. Bogman, you in championships?
ITL IDP.
Hey, there you go.
It has made me super nervous, because this is the league that I have led wire to wire, and that usually doesn't happen all year long. So only lost twice this whole year. Yeah. I scored the second most points in the league for 1 week last week, which means probably my team will S the bed.
Probably.
And I'll lose.
You know, a piece of advice I would give everybody is, if you would like to see any of my teams, I'll let you know who's on them, because this is a guarantee. 100% guarantee.
They're going to go crazy.
They're going to go nuts. Jonathan Taylor, going to go nuts. Tyreek Hill, going to go nuts. James Robinson will probably just come back alive, and he'll be in a wheelchair, and he'll roll 80 yards. Everybody that I had that screwed me, Keenan Allen, Eckler, they're all going to come back, and they're all going to go bonkers. And if I were there, I would win all the championships, but I'm not, because everybody S'd the bed for me last week.
You know, we're not bitter. I came in saying I'll probably lose after being first place all year and scoring the most points. Yeah. And you said all of your players will score a million points.
Yeah,
so we're not bitter at all, at least. So that's good.
Nope.
Making progress.
We do have our plays. We do have some voicemails, pretty low voice. It's actually, I got to tell you, it's a little disappointing, because this is like the last voicemail week. We didn't get a song. Yeah. Unfortunately, Jack didn't have time to get out there. But it's kind of it's apropos of like week 17 in the NFL. Listeners go away. People stop listening, stop sending in. We do have some voicemails, and I think we got a question or two on the email, so we'll answer some of those. We've got our plays that we are going to do, and we've got all the stuff and things to get you prepped for what should be your championship week. And we'll also set you up later in the show to tell you, you know, like what's in store for next week and going into the playoffs and what type of coverage we're going to have. Hey, friends, our friends Stumpwater Farm are still giving a little bit of sponsorship to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, and I would like you to do the same for them. Go and check them out, stumpwaterfarm.com. Bogman, I told you this yesterday as we did a read for them on the baseball side. The vanilla bean-infused maple syrup that we got literally did not last. We used it in cooking and making, which was really cool. We used it to make some pumpkin pies. My wife had called me when I was out doing some Christmas shopping. She had said, by the way, I just want to tell you the vanilla bean is one of the best things I've ever had. And Stumpwater Farm, it's a family that is on a farm making this stuff right there. What I love about it is the uniqueness of the infused vanilla bean, infused cinnamon. They've got an infused bourbon maple syrup and an infused coffee. They've got some other great products as well. If you use a promo code USA, you're going to get hooked up. Go and check them out today. They are supporting ITL. I want you guys to support them. And we did hear back after the very first read, which was 2 weeks ago, to say they saw a little bit of a bump. So let's give them a strong end to the year. Rock yourself some locally made on a farm maple syrup. It's inexpensive and it is very, very cool. And I hope you guys check them out today. Stumpwaterfarm.com. I'm going to have some waffles, Bogman. Pancakes. I'm sorry. You're going to have some waffles.
No,
I said it wrong.
You said what your brain went to first.
No.
Waffles. That's what you want. You want waffles because they're better. Your brain even.
You know
says
what we should
so.
Do? We should like.
Your brain spoke. Your mouth needs to listen.
We should both have a pancake and a waffle in front of us. Each one of us put generic syrup, like the generic Jemima or whatever, on the opposite thing we like. So I do it on the waffle. You do it on the pancake. And then we put the Stumpwater Farm on the thing that the other one is vying for and see what happens.
I mean, this is moving the goalposts a little bit, but I understand what you're saying.
I like it.
Yeah, look, I'll probably take the Stumpwater Farm syrup on a pancake over Aunt Jemima on a waffle. You're probably right.
Is the vanilla bean infused? Here's some stuff for you guys to do. Oh, by the way, if you guys want to check out, I was on with Dan Harris and Joe Pease, Pia, on Fantasy Pros earlier in the week, and we had fun. And we actually went on like a 15-minute tirade, Bogman, about the MVP award, where Joe happened to throw – remember my idea I said a couple weeks ago where it was like, there's no chance the media will let Aaron Rodgers win this award? And he said that, and I went, yes. And we went on this entire tirade about how it can't happen. And we came to the conclusion that the bet is Jonathan Taylor, even though – I did see a bunch of big J's talking about this today and how Aaron Rodgers is the clear winner. And some people are like, yeah, we'll vote for him. I still think it won't happen. And if he is, you can't vote another quarterback. So your backup plan is going with the running back who's putting up numbers similar to previous running back MVPs. So Dan Harris, myself, and Pisa Pia all live bet on that show, Jonathan Taylor to win the MVP because he was plus 600 or 650 on DraftKings.
He's going to be the MVP with the most second place votes ever. It's just going to Rodgers and Brady are going to split it. So he'll win by second place votes or something.
Totally. So. Yeah. 100%. Like he'll get like a quarter of the first place and then he'll have
fit this weird ass year. Yeah. You know, it would absolutely fit this weird ass year. So it would be, you know, we have the extra week. So, you know, most of the time, this is the cruise time right here where, this is the last mock episode and all that, but we have an extra week, so we're going a week longer, obviously. Everything's weird. All the COVID nonsense, this strange season, you know, that would make the most sense for it to happen this year.
Yeah, and Tom Brady does lead. I just want to point out, Tom Brady does actually lead the NFL in passing yards, and he has more touchdowns than Aaron Rodgers, but he has 11 picks to the four, and the team has struggled a little bit. So, you know, you and I were talking.
The Packers are the number one seed, too. Like, people don't even think that much about that. You know, us fantasy nerds, we think about stats only. But a big part of it is where your team is seeded, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. But if Tampa Bay wins out and Tom Brady has a couple more strong games, that's not over. You know, I hit you up because at this point, FanDuel is willing to just buy us out of our bet, not give us any profit. And I was like, do we want to do it? And you're just like, yeah, let it ride. But Tom Brady is still there. And, you know, if those two are close with Rodgers, I just think Jonathan Taylor, who's carried this team, is still the guy to go with. So we had a fun time debating that over there. And I think
Jonathan Taylor has like not just his own team on his back. He also has fantasy championships on his back.
Well, not
right
mine.
Now.
Yeah, no, no. He didn't carry me on his back. I'm a little too heavy, apparently.
So,
yeah, well, congratulations. Yeah, well,
put Welsh down and carry me, please. Thank you.
There you
Thank
go.
You, Jonathan Taylor. Appreciate it.
Let's see. We've got some news and notes. Let's burn through some of these for the coming week. Dalvin Cook activated. He was out last week, so you're going to get yourself some Dalvin Cook. You might not, but you have potential to get some Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz went on the COVID list, but the NFL and PA agreed to new CDC guidelines. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, you now can return after 5 days if you're asymptomatic or not showing any stuff. So that lines up where Carson Wentz could still play on Sunday. So just keep an eye on that. Either way, probably not like the best option. And there's
right.
There's
but he is going to start, you know. So if like in my situation, I have Lamar and Carson Wentz. Those are my two QBs in three sport, which doesn't matter now
Who are they?
Because I'm eliminated.
Who are they?
But it was Lamar and Carson Wentz. So if you're in that type of scenario, looks like it might be Lamar this week because he practiced on Wednesday and looks like he's going to be coming back finally. So
yeah, there's just some streaming options out there that like, do you really want to do it? You can, you totally can. In other COVID news, Bruce Arians tested positive. So, you know, apparently he won't be out there, which will be interesting because I've got a Buccaneers take later. I wonder, you know,
head coach Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean, can he hold down?
It'll be Byron Leftwich, but
what running back can he hold down, you know, in the booth somewhere else or in another room? This is probably one of the biggest ones, probably should have had this higher, is Jimmy G is down. Jimmy, I think I might have wished for it in the last episode, I'm not sure. And Trey...
every episode?
Yeah, ever. Trey Lance is going to start. It is Trey Lance season, and wow, what a rousing endorsement Kyle Shanahan said that, Yeah, he's had 4 weeks of pretty good practices. Some were really good and some were really bad. Like, that's essentially what he said. He gave no confidence whatsoever. Like, Trey Lance is ready for this. He was just like, yeah, he's a quarterback. He's a player.
He went into that press conference and said, lower your expectations, everybody.
Lowered so. Expectations. So Trey Lance is going to be out there with the 49ers, and I don't know what to expect. It's been a S show for him. It's a fantastic matchup, though Houston can be weird sometimes.
They just beat L.A.
Yeah, they can get weird and all that, but we'll see. You know, the problem with Trey Lance is when the last game he played, he showed no ability to check down or feel comfortable in the pocket to throw a pass. And that has to have changed, because what he did every time was he backed up, he looked for 1.5 seconds, and then he started putting his head down and running all around and getting sacked and throwing bad passes. So that's what I expect to happen. And by virtue of that, I kind of expect the 49ers to try to limit Trey Lance to under 20 passes. And it is going to be the listen, I have missed the Deebo rushing prop for like 3 straight weeks because, one, I wasn't sure and it went over. One, I took it too high. Last week I missed it by half of a goddamn yard because he went 32. This is going to be all the running backs this week. That is what they are going to try to run every single one of those guys, including Deebo, back on. So I'm going to get back on it because you got to get the ball out of Trey Lance's hands. But, you know, he might be able to do it in the air, and hopefully Shanahan has planned up something, because you can't just run the Jimmy Garoppolo playbook with Trey Lance, even though they're both really good at throwing bad passes.
Yeah, throw 3 bad passes and then a pick, right? That's the Jimmy G offense. So
no, it's funny. It's 1 bad pass, 1 okay pass, and then pick.
It's funny because, you know, I've been saying half this year, like, I fully expect that Jimmy G could be a possibility to start for the Steelers next year with Ben gone and everything. Yeah. And I heard all my Steelers podcasts, the guys going, please God, just don't get Jimmy G. Huh. I don't care what they do. Just don't get Jimmy Garoppolo. He's clearly not good enough. And I, you know, of course you were the first person I thought of when I heard all that stuff.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, it's pretty funny. I actually enjoy when Jimmy G plays bad, because then I feel like the rest of the world is back with me. Because when Jimmy's good, everyone's like, blah, blah. But when he's bad, everyone's like, who is this monster? He's awful. He makes it. Yes, this is what he does week in and week out. And guess what happens? He's saved. He can be great for a short period of time.
He looks like good Kirk Cousins, and then other times he looks like Ian Book.
He's like Matt Schaub. That is like that's exactly what he is.
That's a good comparison.
And, you know, he can make some okay, but when you have Deebo, and you have George Kittle and a good
G's
running
one of those
game.
Guys, I think he's one of those guys that can go on the Nick Foles run, right? He can have 3 great games in a row and possibly win you a Super Bowl, but he's never going to be the guy that is constantly winning you games, like a Brady, a Roethlisberger, you know, an Aaron Rodgers, like those guys that can win you the game at the end. You know, you can depend on those
guys
to come back and win.
The players have to make the plays. The coaching has to be perfect, and the running game has to be sound. Jimmy G just moves the ball around, and now Trey Lance is in there. Trey Lance might be an option, though, and he's going to start, and it's going to be a brutal watch for me for this week. Some of the other stuff.
Maybe he plays well. That's your guy next year. So
I mean, I did
let's hope he plays well.
I did get a nice, like, autographed patch card for our Deck Our Balls of Trey Lance, and that's the first Trey Lance autograph, so maybe it's time.
Yeah.
I also got a little Deebo mini helmet, signed mini helmet, which is pretty nice too.
We'll see.
Possibility that Cam Akers could play this week. They place Daryl Henderson on the IR. I mean, maybe they make him active,
just,
couple carries,
it's just
but
crazy.
It's Sonny Michel all day, every day.
It is. Yeah. It's just crazy to me that this guy tore his Achilles in July and is going to play games at the end of the year. That is
it's
crazy.
It's like Adrian Peterson freak stuff. CEH did not suffer any structural damage in his collarbone, should return shortly, but should not play this week. So you're going to have to make your Daryl Henderson or potentially Derek Gore moves for the coming week.
Yeah.
What did I say? What?
You said Daryl Henderson, but
Daryl Williams. Yeah, sorry, because we just said Daryl Henderson, Daryl Williams. I was calling Derek Gore Derek Carr on Fantasy Pros too, so my brain's a mess. Miles Sanders not going to play week 17. The Eagles are hopeful that Jordan Howard is going to be able to play, but no guarantees.
Bogman
that leaves
Scott.
Bogman Scott. Topsos.
Let's go.
And Lamar Jackson is supposed to practice today as we were
recording.
He
did practice
this.
Today.
He did. Okay,
so,
well, great.
Yeah. And so looks like he's going to be good to go. What's your comfortability? I mean, it is Wednesday as we record this, so seeing him practice on Wednesday should give you a little bit of confidence going into
Do you think there's
Sunday,
a
right?
single team in a championship that has been able to ride Lamar not being on their team for the last 2 or 3 weeks? I was one of those, and I got knocked out last week because I had to put Josh Johnson in.
I mean, if you're lucky, maybe you made it, you know. Yeah. So, but the question is, like, you know, who do you start? Do you start Lamar or that other guy that brought you to this point? You know what I mean? Whoever that should be, whether Matt Ryan or whoever, you know.
I don't want to play Matt Ryan this week. That's it's a horrible matchup against Buffalo.
I'm going to roll Lamar in most
scenarios. Yeah, I'm going to roll Lamar because I don't think the, quote, guy is better. The guy that got you there, like, who did you get by with? Did you get by with? I'm trying to look.
Good enough. You probably won in spite of him. Like Tua? I bet a lot of people had Tua, Mac. Yeah. You know,
it's a bad matchup for Lamar, but he's at least going to run, and he's going to run all around. And I mean, I think the wide receivers are going to get held down. Mark Andrews is on a whole nother tear right now. So, you know, this might be only a 2-touchdown game, but you put your back on Lamar Jackson over guys like Tua or Justin Fields.
I'm looking at who is the other guy that could have possibly taken
it. I don't know. I don't see it.
Because they're all hurt or had COVID or whatever. So, yeah.
Could have been Carson Wentz,
so,
maybe. Carson Wentz. I mean, that could be a scenario.
But he has COVID now. So that's not even you know, if you're going to roll a guy on a short practice or less than 100%, I would much rather roll less than 100% Lamar than Carson Wentz. So,
last notes. Here is DeAndre Swift says he's ready to play this week. Of course, as soon as I got knocked out of all the playoffs with all the rosters with him, he's ready to go. Of course, Gabe Davis and Cole Beasley were activated from the COVID list. This was a big thing that we were talking about on the pros was, you know, this might come down to the wire. Nope. Apparently Wednesday, they're just good to go because the CDC changed the rules. And that was something we weren't talking about because there was a 10-day window. It now became 5. And both those guys are in, so that takes away all of the love I had for Isaiah McKenzie that we were chatting about. No thanks now.
Yeah.
Heineke's going to start for the football team. Bridgewater's in concussion protocol, so, you know, not that Denver matters if they've got Titty or not. It doesn't really matter. Miami full RBBC with Gaskin most likely back to full strength.
Yeah, I mean, they gave Duke Johnson 13 touches, but also then gave Philip Lindsay 13 touches. So
yeah.
The bottom line there is you just don't want to start any Dolphins back. Nope. They're all going to be broken up.
Connor, Rondell Moore are going to be game time decisions. And Elijah Moore is 50-50 to go this week. He just hasn't got out of the COVID protocol stuff, but he could theoretically. And then a big blow is Adam Thielen is having season-ending ankle surgery, which is a big boost for KJ Osborne. You know, that was kind of a big discussion point we were having on Fantasy Pros as well, was like, you know, what do we think about KJ Osborne? They had KJ Osborne at the top, and I was like, I don't know, if Thielen's good, I just don't want it. Now
yeah,
KJ
it
Osborne
really
completely
weird.
Changes.
Yeah, it was really weird because Thielen had practice last week and was a game time decision. They ultimately decided not to have him go. And then this week you think, okay, well, if he almost went last week, for sure he's going to go this week. And then today they said, we're going to give him surgery and he's done. So, I mean, the Vikings aren't making the playoffs anyway. So that is probably kind of the last straw. But yeah, it definitely is a huge boost for Osborne. And just want to make a note that while they are starting Heineke, Ron Rivera said that Kyle Allen is going to play. A lot of teams doing that. Joe Judge is going to stick to that. We know Matt Rhule is sticking to that. I don't understand
the
what
the
stupid mindset is. The old saying, it's a saying for a reason. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a starting quarterback. So
it's the worst thing. It might be the worst thing about football right now too. It's awful. I absolutely hate this committee bull crap with quarterbacks. And this also this part of the year, this is why I'm making my case. Let's end the fantasy football season at week 12. Let's be done, because then you're getting all this stupid bull crap. Teams are out of it. Teams don't kick anymore.
I bet you
drives.
That if we get this COVID crap for the next 2 years, there will be real discussions of ending the season on Thanksgiving. So if we get this next year too, then the next couple years, people are going to start to want to end it sooner than COVID starting to go throughout all the locker rooms. So we'll see.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, advent of these late buys too, probably not helping with, I mean, the Colts had a really, not saying there's a correlation, but hey, Colts had a really late buy, probably guys going home, going out, doing stuff. And then right after that, they all got COVID and they were all out for a bit. So, you know, not saying it's a direct correlation, but you can kind of take a look at it. Speaking of COVID, David Johnson, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Tajay Sharp, Josh Reynolds, Tim Patrick, Mercedes Lewis, Tyler Kroft, Dan Arnold, all your week 17 COVIDs.
That was up to Wednesday. So there will be more Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's just, you know, like we just said, got to pay attention to all that stuff.
Yeah, you can book it. Friends, come and check it out. InThisLeague.com. You guys want to have all the fun into the new year. New year's coming up. We are going to be having secret shows in the new year, live streams. I've got a break event coming up soon. All the cool stuff. GroupMe rooms. Come and check us out. Football does, even though football will kind of end, it doesn't end in conversation, whether it's Dynasty and all that fun stuff. But support independent podcasting and make sure In This League keeps rolling for as little as $5 a month. Go and check it out. InThisLeague.com. We would very much appreciate it. Let's get to the plays box. We got plays. We got some voicemails. Week 17. This is it. I mean, technically, it's not it because you still have next week. But I don't know. I don't know what
you better not be playing next week.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it if you are too. Let's go do it.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Oh.
Week 17 plays. That is where we are at. Unbelievable. It's a weirdness because, you know, we look at the sheet every week and I just remember like week five, and we are week 17. We are here with all the plays, no guests, going back. It would have been, you know, our boy Donovan has kind of kept track throughout the year of even this stuff that we've been doing, like even kind of some of the accuracy of them. It would be interesting if we put like an actual, you know, win or loss to it and then went back and took a look at the entire, like, you know, success rate of some of our picks. But because we've done pretty good, you know, we've done pretty good on these plays. Gambling has actually been pretty hot on our picks, by the way. I think I'm my fourth straight week of over 500 against the spread, which has boosted me up a little bit. And yeah, I think you and I were relatively similar against the spread this week, but also going
only took us 16 weeks to figure it out. So yeah, that's
But yeah. Like, you know, we've at least been, I want to say like over 50% on our picks of the weeks, and we've had some absolute big bangers that we've done. Last week, you guys both, you and Jesse, who filled in, great job for Jesse, both had Justin Jackson, who been, and it was a great play, by the way. You know, I was dicey about taking that risk. One of our listeners had said, you know, Jeffrey Wilson or Jackson, and I was like, I would go Wilson because I just didn't think Eckler was at the place he was. And it paid off. I mean, Wilson did score, but Jackson was a monster, and he scored the two touchdowns, and he was Eckler light. You know, he was essentially Eckler. I shouldn't even say light. So that was a huge payoff.
Yeah, he led them in receiving and stuff. But that was like, we got to the right answer, but the formula wasn't correct. You know what I mean? Like, we got to the right answer because Justin Jackson did have that Eckler day, but he had the Eckler day because the Chargers were losing the whole game to the Texans. Yeah. So he caught a lot of passes and stuff. So, look, I'll take the victory anyway. I get it. But, you know, the logic wasn't right because nobody saw the Texans beating the Chargers. But it did happen.
Yeah. But, you know, you had some good plays. I think you had Herbert. You had Odell, who scored a touchdown. Jesse had Laybog Treadwell. So some of those plays are in there. So we've got, which is essentially, I don't know if I even decided how we're going to roll next week if we even bother doing plays for week 18 because that's the chaos. You know, week 17, the amount of teams that could really change out that can just secure playoff berths could change what they do in the final week. Adam Schefter reported Colts, Eagles, and Niners among seven teams that can clinch playoff berths this week. So think about the scenarios that could come into play here, that if you get over half the league that clinches their spot, there's a legit chance that some of these teams are not going to roll out, you know, starters. And, you know, Elijah Mitchell, perfect example. Maybe he goes this week, but you know, he's had so many injury issues. If the Niners clinch their spot, probably just don't roll him out in that final week. Yeah. Get him really healthy for it. So, you know, the point of the plays is going to be
don't
more
play that way.
Yeah, it's going to be more chaotic, but we'll see where the plays are next week. But let's get to them. We've got quarterback, running back, wide receiver, top quarterback for said week, Bogman.
I mean, I think it's this one is there's a bunch to pick from this week.
This is the one, though. I would have picked.
We were like, you know, I don't know if there's even one I want to pick, but this week I feel like there are three or four, but it's Josh Allen versus Atlanta. Yeah. Buffalo needs to keep the wins up. Atlanta's defense is horrific. So, I mean, we saw Josh Allen go absolutely ham last week. I think he's going to do the same thing this week. So pretty easy, Josh Allen, like you said.
I agree with you on this one. This would be the play I would go with as well. I do want to point out, boy, This was a very annoying week when I looked at the sheet. But I mean, all of the Bogman, like I would look up somebody and I'd look and Bogman has it. And I was like, God damn.
You know what is funny is some of these I switched to give you some of the guys I feel like you like.
I mean, like you can look at my sheet. I don't know if I took any of the guys you thought I might, but you took
these first two right here.
Oh, OK.
I specifically left.
You want to know what's hilarious? Those are the only two that didn't bother me of all the plays here. The only two. Your sleeper running back, your sleeper quarterback were both locks for me. Your surprise wide receiver one of the week, absolutely. It was your RB2s and sleepers.
I typed up both of these names and then deleted them. I'm like, that might just kind of be me. I took this guy.
I probably would have taken those other guys that you would have taken as well. So if I've got to go in another direction, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers tops of the week just to really hammer all of my points incorrectly. So this is going to be a masochistic thing. Like I'm like, hey, there's no way the media is going to let it. He'll throw for 6 touchdowns this week against Minnesota because it's a division game. They want to pound it on them. And he will have it so firmly locked that I'll just lose all my money on both sides and not make any money on MVP awards because I bet for everybody that isn't him, as he's moved to the odds-on favorite now. But Rodgers has obviously been hot. He has thrown for multiple touchdowns in 5 straight weeks. 5 straight weeks. Technically, here's a crazy stat. He has had at least 3 touchdowns in his last 5 games. That one game that he threw 2, he rushed for 1. So he has had at least 3 touchdowns in 5 straight games. He threw for 4 and 385 against Minnesota in Week 11. He also had a couple rushing yards. It was the most rushing yards he had all season. He had 21. Aaron Rodgers gonna be big, and I think he's gonna get some pieces back this week that I really like to go big as well. So
all while dealing with COVID toe.
Yeah, COVID toe. Aaron Rodgers. He's gonna just shove it back in all the big J's, and he's just gonna force everybody's hand to give him the MVP, even though they don't want to.
I mean, you're probably right.
That makes me so mad. All right.
You know, Minnesota is also, I mean, you know, pick-onable.
Yeah, no, they're pick. I mean, that was kind of one of the big things. They're also very pick-onable. They threw for 4 touchdowns last time he was out there. And also, you know, I had him on one of my teams that could be in the championship this week. So he lines up as one of the players that I would have this week, and he'll throw for 5 touchdowns. So just be on the lookout for it. My sleeper, I kind of like Bogman's. I don't know if I would have settled on him, but I'm going to go kind of on the opposite end of him, and I'm going to go with Justin Fields. I'm going to go with him out there.
Who is he playing?
I wrote Justin Fields versus Chicago. You know what,
finally,
though?
I could get you on one of those. You do this to me all the time. I finally see one that you wrote in incorrectly because you usually nail these. You can tell you didn't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah, I did not get a lot of sleep last night whatsoever. But you know what? I'm kind of not wrong. It is kind of Justin Fields versus Chicago. It is kind of, I'm not incorrect about this. They haven't given up the New York Giants, who they're playing. The New York Giants have not given up a rushing touchdown to a quarterback since Week 4. Interestingly, when you
is
go.
Is that like maybe the only positive stat for the Giants the entire season?
Maybe. Maybe. But I mean, they've also given up multiple passing touchdowns. Let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. 10 of the 16 weeks they've played, I guess 10 of the 15, they've given up at least 2 passing touchdowns to quarterbacks. They've only given up 2 rushing touchdowns all season, and it was in 1 game. And what's interesting about it is they've only had 2 games against, well, actually technically 3 games, 3 games against real running quarterbacks. 2 of the 3 are against the same team, the Eagles. Last week was kind of a weird one because Jalen Hurts was just, you know, he was successful and didn't need to run, and they were running with the other backs, so he didn't run. The game before, when they played the Eagles, he ran for 77 yards, but in Week 4, it was against the Saints, and they were able to put up 2 rushing touchdowns there. My point here is they do give up those fantasy points to running quarterbacks, and they just haven't faced a whole bunch of them. Jalen Hurts ran for over 77. They gave up 2 to the Saints. This is a running quarterback in Justin Fields that I think is going to be able to do it on the ground. The Giants are susceptible to it, so I will take him as my sleeper quarterback because I don't think there's a whole lot that that you can bet on. I'm still not sure I really want to bet on him, but this is one that you can do it with.
Yeah, by the way, I just sent you someone posted it in our GroupMe room.
Oh, yeah.
So Lamar back at practice, right? But I think it was Josh S. posted it in the GroupMe room. Back at practice, But they show there's a video of him throwing a pass and then limping.
I'm watching it. I mean, he looks like me when I get out of the chair after a 3-hour recording session. He is just, he's hunched over.
He looks like Welsh the day after he rams his toe into the wall.
That is a very noticeable limp on the field, and it's not moving well. I don't like that at all.
Right, exactly. For my sleeper, I'm going to go with the Welsh's boy, Trey Lance. And the reason I'm going with him is because, and I think the best thing for the Niners, for them to see this week in week 16 was see the Texans beat the Chargers, a team come in not prepared for Houston and lose to them. And this is why we always say any given Sunday, that's where the whole phrase comes from, is the crappy teams can beat the good teams if the good teams don't respect the crappy teams. These are all, you know, really good NFL players. So I do think that Trey Lance is going to be ready to play this game. I do think they're going to run a lot, like Welsh mentioned, but also that's good for Trey Lance. This is the worst run D, one of the worst run Ds in the NFL is the Houston Texans. So yeah. I think he's going to get a decent amount of yards, and I think they're also, your defense for the Niners is going to put San Francisco in position to score on short fields and get a lot of three and outs and stuff like that. So I think, you know, good run game, which includes Trey Lance, and a strong defense is going to set up more scoring opportunities. I do like Lance as a potential DFS play.
I see it. My only problem is this is big. This is for the playoff spot. They can clinch a playoff spot with a win, and I think Shanahan doesn't have full trust in him. I don't think they cater the playbook enough to him yet, and what that to me says is they've got to minimize everything about him as much as possible. I actually like Kittle. I think short passes, short, not needing to do check down passes is what he needs to do. They're going to have to set that all up via play action. And the teams are going, Houston is going to bait Trey Lance into passing, and he has to be perfect to be really successful. So I hate the thought of going with him this week, but, you know, having a little bit of experience getting back on the sidelines for, you know, 2 months or whatever it is might be the best thing for him. They've got Debo, they got Ayuk, they got Kittle. If they get Mitchell back,
I think you open up with a couple deep shots from Trey, because they're not going to expect it at all. I think they're going to think exactly what you think.
Good point.
They have too much on the line, you know, so you open up with a couple deep shots. If you hit one, you're going to have those safeties and linebackers on their heels for most of the rest of the game. So I think you pass to set up in this game, which, you know, for a scripted drive can give Trey Lance some confidence.
Yeah, to
so
your point,
you script that first drive, really pass heavy. And then after that, you run the ball a ton.
I like the idea of, like, first play action over the middle Debo Samuel. Like, that's what I like. Like, easy over the middle, like 15-yarder, and let him try to get extra yards and go on play action very first play. That's how you – it's a good call. Like, a play action pass, if I could bet that, I probably would bet that. All right, let's go over to running backs. Your surprise RB1 for week 17.
I don't know why he keeps not getting a ton of respect, but Damian Harris not listed as an RB1 again. They're
Stevenson
playing
Jacksonville. Is COVID active, by the way, just letting you know.
Well, that's fine. And Stevenson will get run for sure. But after the performance Mac Jones put on, you got to know that Belichick's going to go back to the run game. So I think Stevenson and Harris can both be good in this game against Jacksonville. They're having weird rotations. They have some COVID issues as well in Jacksonville. So for me, Damian Harris, I think, is going to tear it up. I'm not going to say he gets 3 touchdowns like he did last week, but I think 100 yards and a score is definitely on tap for him.
I like that one. I like that one. I really struggled, by the way. Like, this is not a good list of, especially when we're doing it comparative to, like, Fantasy Pros and stuff. But for this week, I'm going to go with Rashad Penny being able to do it. He has had over 130 rushing yards in 2 of the last 3 weeks. The game he didn't do it against was against the Rams, but he did it against Houston and did it against Chicago. And wouldn't you know it, the Lions are giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs this year. The second most. They've got to get it into Penny's. I know they want, they want to get the wide receivers right. That has not been working. This might be the type of matchup that, you know, they can get that going, but their safety net is a guy like Rashad Penny. And if they get ahead, which I presumably they will, they're going to continue running with him. Now, he hasn't gotten crazy bulk volume of carries, but essentially, you can say this. When he gets over 15 carries, he gets over 100 yards. And in those two games where he's had over 15 carries, he's combined for 272 rushing yards with three touchdowns. So we'll take that. I'm going to take it to the bank. Rashad Penny, big week, surprise RB1 for the week. Coming back, I kind of mentioned it. I'm going to go with AKA Boston Bogman Scott. Now, man, Dan went really hard on Jordan Howard. And I know Jordan Howard is a guy that some like, but he's questionable coming into this game.
He's got a stinger last week. That's not like a minor thing.
I'm not sure that this is the game where they press him when you've also got Kenny Gainwell. If Howard is active, I still think the Bogman Scott can play a role in the pass game and is still going to get some carries. He got some carries in the red zone, scored a touchdown. If Howard is out, it's an absolute no-brainer because it should be a whole lot of him. This is a solid-ish matchup against Washington, who's been struggling. So give me AKA Boston Bogman Scott against Washington.
For me, I'm going to go with Tony Pollard against the Arizona Cardinals here. And the reason I'm going to go with Pollard is because, you know, like the Welsh has mentioned the last couple weeks, Pollard just looks better than Zeke. And I think in a game against the Cardinals, when, you know, I think you're going to see a big run of Zeke early in this game, kind of punish those linebackers. This Cardinals run D hasn't been great, specifically on the back half of the season. And then in the third quarter, fourth quarter, when you have been controlling the clock because Kyler hasn't looked good and they're going to have some three and outs with this Dallas defense playing so good, you're going to see Pollard hit a home run. So I'm honestly playing Pollard in this game to see that big late third, early fourth quarter home run, the 60-yard touchdown run, because we know Pollard is explosive. They're going to wear down this Cards D, and I think he's going to take a big one to the house. So I love Pollard.
I hope Elliott has like four carries for 6 yards and Pollard 185 yards with three touchdowns. I'm hoping for it. I'm praying for it.
I mean, I don't know. It's not against me. I don't really care.
I want it. I'm praying for it. All right, you got sleeper. This is the one that really irked me because this would have been my pick. I like this one.
This one was almost like whoever gets the sheet first has to pick it.
Yeah.
And I just ended up on the sheet first. So it's Derek Gore against Cincinnati, and it's because Cincinnati is going to run the ball. Like you just saw what Joe Burrow did against the Ravens, right? So you don't want them to start clicking, especially if you do see them again in the playoffs. And that is a definite possibility for the Chiefs to see the Bengals again in the playoffs. So you want to run the ball in this game. You want to keep Joe Burrow frustrated on the sideline and keep that whole offense on the sideline. So I think they can do it. They've been running the ball really, really well. Eric Bieniemy has completely changed the face of this offense, going from, you know, let's sling it downfield all day with Patrick Mahomes to let's dink and dunk. Let's have long drives. I just saw that against my Steelers. You know, I mean, anyone can drive against the Steelers, but I think they had 2 8-minute drives in that game, which is just crazy. So Derek Gore is definitely going to get his run, and we've seen him be a little explosive. So if he can get past the D line of the Bengals and get into the open field, you know, Tyrann Mathieu is going to be playing at less than 100%. These linebackers, Logan Wilson out again. So you're going to see Pratt and Marcus Bailey, who's mainly a pass rusher, playing linebacker for the Bengals. I think he could probably have a big play too, a lot like I said for Tony Pollard. So I like Derek Gore this week.
Like who? Like I do too.
Yeah, whatever his name is, he's pretty
Week 17 is a struggle for all of us. I completely agree with this one. I think it's the one I really want to be on. I mean, Darrell Williams has definitely shown up before, but Derek Carr continues to get some of that run. And I think there's real trust in him, and I like that as a really sneaky one. My sneaky one is super sneaky, and you got to be desperate. You got to really, really be desperate. But the desperation play I would be interested in is Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn last week, 70 yards, 7 carries. He had a touchdown. Even those coaches on COVID said some really positive things about how he could be a feature back in the NFL. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, follow me here, are going up against the New York Jets.
That's why this is a good play.
Nobody gives up more fantasy points to running backs than the New York Jets. I've been saying it for the last 2 weeks. I've been wrong. Tom Brady has got to destroy. This is the perfect scenario for him to just throw all the touchdowns to Gronk, all the touchdowns to Antonio Brown. Even if Keyshawn Vaughn doesn't get early run, the Buccaneers should be up at least 84-0 by the second quarter. And Keyshawn Vaughn can be the guy they run out at the back end of the game. Either way, they're going to want to put him out there. They like to run the multi-back system. Ronald Jones, they don't give, even though, you know, we talked about him, they don't give Ronald Jones over, you know, like that 20-carry mark or anything like that. So Keyshawn Vaughn's going to get some carries. He's been explosive. It's a great matchup. And if they're way up, Keyshawn Vaughn should get primary carries in the second half of this game. This is the quintessential week 17, week 18 type of back that you want out there. I think Keyshawn Vaughn could like be a league winner. The problem is where do you find the spot to get him in? If you're in the championship, you're probably in a really great spot and you can't. So I'm not trying to be like Siciliano. My God, Keyshawn Vaughn is winning everybody their leagues this week. I don't know if you can get him in, but I really have a gut feeling if I had no good options, this is someone I would be trying to put out there, but I wouldn't want to do it at the expense of like a really good player. Now, an interesting one would be Vaughn versus Gore. Because I kind of talked myself in as we've been going here. I think Vaughn might be a little bit more home runny than Gore this week because due to matchup and due to them team being up so much that I kind of think I would go Vaughn over Gore at this point.
That's fine. I don't know if I'll ever trust Keyshawn Vaughn enough to
get
that, you know. So but I mean, this is the week. If you're ever gonna trust Keyshawn Vaughn, this is the week against the Jets. You're right. So
be my play.
So I do like that call. I think I'd stick with Derek Gore, but I mean, it's such a coin flip. If you had a gut feeling about Vaughn, go with him. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I'm going to be looking for player props. Player props on Keyshawn Vaughn is good. I haven't been going nuts on the props this week. Vaughn is someone I am specifically looking at. I'll be looking at a DFS.
Is there even one available? There's no Thursday night game, so I can't believe that any props are available.
They're not going to be available till Thursday or Friday. But I'm going to be DFS and props. I'm going to be on Vaughn this week because I think if they even provide the props, probably going to be low. It'll probably be like, you know, 15 yards or something like that. I'm going to take anything I can with Keyshawn Vaughn this week. Wide receivers. This is masochism. I'm going back to Keenan Allen, who's got the Denver Broncos. Not like the greatest matchup in the world, but last matchup that he faced against Denver, he had 10 targets. He had 8 catches. Chargers just got their asses beat. Keenan Allen had a horrific game. Keenan Allen doesn't have back-to-back bad games. He has had double digits. Oh, man, dude. His double-digit targets have been like 80% of the season. He will have double-digit targets again. He's going to eat again, and they're going to be out for blood. The Broncos are bad. Whoever it is, Lock or Titty, doesn't matter. They're going to be back out for blood, and it is going to be at the expense of their secondary, and Keenan Allen is going to thrive again. Plus, I got some other injuries. I know a lot of people like Joshua Palmer and Guyton and stuff, but you're going to go back to what you trust, and that's Keenan Allen. There's no way. I think he had like 5 targets last week. There's no way they allow that to happen again. We're back in the double digits with Keenan. So surprise RB.
It just didn't make any sense either. Like, you're losing to Houston the whole game. Why is Keenan Allen not getting enough targets?
No, so stupid.
Very, very
strange. I love yours, though. Yours, like Keenan Allen, like I feel like is just always considered in that range. Not that either one of these guys are an actual consideration, but yours I really like. This would have been one I would have picked.
I don't understand why Jalen Waddle isn't a number one wide receiver like every single week. Just based on the way that the Miami Dolphins have used him over the last month, he's getting at least 10 targets a game. He had a rushing touchdown against the Saints. He is the majority of the Dolphins offense right now. He has been fantastic this season. And I don't, you know, it's hard. It's hard to push someone because if you're just looking at PPR and Fantasy Pros, it's Kupp, Adams, Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Debo, Diggs, Deontay, AJ Brown, who came back and was amazing, CeeDee Lamb, Antonio Brown, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. So who do you push out of the number one wideouts to put in either one of our guys, Keenan, who's 13, and Waddle, who's 14 on this list? I mean, to me, I guess it would be CeeDee Lamb would be the guy that I drop out just because, you know, we've seen Dak go to Schultz and Terrence Steele.
I hope the
and
worst
everybody
for all
that
the Cowboys, for sure.
CeeDee Lamb. So,
yeah, I mean, I would probably throw out, like, I don't think both of the, I'd love T. Higgins right now. Yeah, this is tough. I would throw out,
Higgins has been great, but so is Chase. He just threw 500 and whatever yards.
Yeah,
so
I might throw out, like, Deontay Brown Lamb, that little run, I don't particularly love this week. but no one's having the decision. That's like the difficulty of what we have here. No one has this decision where they're not starting these guys. We're just saying we're both really
for
in
sure.
On so
yeah, we think this is more. This play right here to me has always been more about DFS. Like, who are you going to buy who may be cheaper than those top tier guys, but still end up being a top tier guy? And that is definitely Waddle for me this week and Keenan Allen for you. Oh. For my,
who do you got surprise number two?
I mean, this one was kind of more difficult. I like the one you picked for sure here. I went with Jacoby Myers against Jacksonville. I just expect him to make a couple decent plays and maybe, you know, if there's a week that you call Jacoby Myers to get in the end zone, since he never does it, it should be against the Jags. So let's get him a touchdown here. Just boost his confidence rolling towards the playoffs.
Yeah, the number two, I've actually got, there's like a guy who didn't get on this list that I really like that we mentioned before, but I'm going to keep him here. Is I like Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson has had a couple bad weeks. You know, he had really strung together. I mean, he had like a 6-game run that was really solid, 3 straight games before the last two where he had a touchdown. In that time, he had 20 targets. The last two games, he's only caught 3 balls on 8 targets, and Stafford has struggled. Baltimore is a place to get right. Baltimore is giving up the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. Their secondary is absolutely demolished. They're going to be playing the run, obviously, really hard. With you got some banged up stuff that's going on with the Rams as far as their backfield. Sonny Michel's been fine, but if there's a big coverage, Sonny Michel is like a up and down runner. He's not a sideways runner. And if they have Cam Akers, okay, maybe that opens it up. I don't know how successful the Rams are going to really be able to run in this game, and I think they're going to get back to slinging the ball. They got to win games. This could be a shootout type of thing if Lamar is back. And Van Jefferson, this is a fantastic matchup. If there's anything the defense is going to be focused on is Cup, and Jefferson is going to, I think this is going to be a 7 or 8 target game. I think he's going to break a big one. Kind of like his longest reception prop, whatever it's going to be, doesn't really matter. He's had a couple bad weeks, so it'll be friendly. So I like Van Jefferson as my surprise wide receiver 2 for the week against Baltimore. My last one, this guy looks like he's good to go. And he had been doing fantastic until he was put on the COVID list. I'm going with MVS. I'm pairing him with Aaron Rodgers. I think MVS is almost in must-start territory. I think they're going to be slinging the ball. It's a great place to go up against Minnesota. MVS had, you know, that like 24-target run in 3 games. And then, you know, he had COVID and he kind of came back down. Aaron Rodgers needs those weapons. Defense is going to be hyper-focused on Adams. And Aaron Rodgers loves going to MVS deep. So I like this as a big deep wide receiver game. Obviously, they're going to be trying to sling the ball to Justin Jefferson deep, and I think MVS is going to play that. So give me MVS as my my surprise sleeper wide receiver of the week. And the guy that I didn't say, by the way, was KJ Osborne. Like KJ, I think a really good debate, because now that Thielen is out, you could almost argue Osborne could be a surprise like number two this week. But I think him and MVS are in the same category of like wide receiver 3. We call them sleepers that aren't normally there. Those guys are in the almost maybe potentially must start, and they're playing in the same game. So Osborne and MVS, I'm kind of pairing together.
I like that one. And for me, I'll go with Nico Collins against your Niners. And this is, to me, it's a couple of things. Number one, I expect the Niners to be winning this game going away, and Houston a need to pass in the second half. And we did just see, just see Brandon Cooks come off the COVID list. So he should be back for this game, we're assuming at this point. But that means that he'll get the double coverage. Nico Collins should be one-on-one. And I think what we've learned for Houston the last couple of weeks is that Davis Mills is going to be their guy next year. They have too many positions of need to walk into this draft and say, and fall in love with one of these quarterbacks that, you know, unless they really think one of them is a franchise, you know, quarterback, which I don't see one in this draft, they got to go BPA. So they're going to take best available player. And I think, so we know that for quarterback, if we can know that we have Cooks and Nico going into next year as our 1 and 2 in Houston, then we don't have to worry about taking a wide receiver in this class either, even though it's deep. Now you can go fix this horrible defense for Houston in the draft. So I think getting Nico established these last 3 weeks of the season, last week, this week, and next week, is on the Texans' agenda. So I would love to see Davis Mills throw the ball to Nico Collins, at least get him like 5 or 6 targets to see what he can do. And I think they're going to make that a priority this week. So give me Nico Collins as a sleeper.
Yeah, and I would tell you, you know, Josh Norman has played okay this year on the 49ers defense. Dante Johnson has been out there as well, and he's been playing. Oh no, it's Quan Williams. I went to Quan Williams is like their nickelback, their their slot cornerback. He's played fantastic this year.
Look at this nickelback.
Ambry Thomas is one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. I don't know where he ranks. I would be fascinated to see where PFF has him ranked.
I'm gonna go look right now.
I think Dante has not been playing a whole bunch. Ambry Thomas gets in the game. He's one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. He gets picked on all the time. I guarantee you, Kwan Josh Norman are going to be locked on Cooks. And if Ambry Thomas is on Nico Collins, is going to eat.
Unfortunately, Ambry Thomas has not had enough snaps to have a grade out of 116.
He would be 116.
He is by far the worst rated corner. So Josh Norman is 109 of 116, right? And he's 50.4. So Ambry Thomas is 31.6. That's got to be the lowest ranked corner
in the NFL,
in the league.
My 49ers. You know, it's just not me placating. I'm telling you, he's one of the worst.
His coverage grade is 60, so that's like yellow. That's kind of median. His coverage grade is 32.7, which has to be dead last.
Wherever he is, they're going to throw the ball. And there's a good opportunity. Nico Collins is the guy that he's up on. And he has a really good chance. He has a really, really good chance because Kwan Williams is, and I'm not to make this a whole big thing, but like they'll probably put Kwan Williams on Cook if Cooks is in the slot. But if they get Cooks on the outside, they're going to have Josh Norman. But Nico Collins is always going to be open on one of those outside slots, and Ambry's going to be there, and he's going to get torched. He's the worst cornerback in the league.
There are seven corners. None of them have enough. None of them have enough snaps to grade, but there are seven corners that are ranked lower than Ambry Thomas in coverage. It's two Jaguars in Herndon and Clay Brooks, Damon Arnett, who got released by the Raiders after his gun thing, DJ Hayden, who I didn't realize was in the NFL, Kareem Orr, Isong Bassey, who I've never heard of him, Bo Pete Keys, who's a creative player, never heard of that guy. So these are the guys, and I think most of them, Ambry Thomas has had 202 defensive snaps. Nobody else has had more than 138.
Yeah, well, don't tell me I don't know some defense, because at least on the 49ers, I can tell you he's one of the worst cornerbacks in the entire NFL, and if Nico is there, Nico's going to have a breakout game. That's a really good call. Sorry, extended that a little bit, but I just looked at his name when I was looking at their depth chart again, because I was trying to remember, and I was like, oh yeah, the worst ever. And I'm so glad that, we had that fun confirmation that you just gave me that, he is actually one of the worst, not just me talking because it's the Niners.
Oh yeah, it's not just, this is not just Niner negativity here. No. This is Ambry Thomas being the worst. And that's, look, you've watched enough NFL to know when one of these guys, this guy should not be on the field.
Nope, he should not. He should absolutely not. Yeah. So Niners need to go corner. All right, that is the plays. Final up, we've got voicemails for all of you wonderful people, but you might be a little disappointed.
It's In This League.
Voicemail.
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Hey, here right now. Leave a message or whatever. Listeners leaving messages stupid.
InThisLeague@gmail.com. Though are we even doing two episodes next week? We're probably only going to do one, to be honest with you, right? Or do we want to do an extra one?
We're going to do the mock one and then the bet this league, right? Isn't that the plan?
Yeah. So if we're only doing two, then we're not doing like the plays for week 18. Are we not doing a plays for week 18?
No, we will not be doing the plays for week 18. No.
Yeah. So
you shouldn't be playing week 18. That's the plays.
Yeah. That's a good point. So, but we will have a bet this league and we'll have kind of like a breakdown episode. So you guys can send it in InThisLeague@gmail.com, but we're not going to be doing any voicemail segments, though. If we do like a singular episode during the playoffs, it'll probably be very focused on Bet This League. We might be open to taking a voicemail or two, because maybe that episode gets extended just a tiny bit since it'll be our last one. The sad thing about it this week is we have no voicemail, no Jack voicemail for the final week of the year. which is sad. He did send in an email, and we'll start with his because he apologized for it. Now, he did have a selling point, though, I want to point out. He did say to sign up on our Patreon at InThisLeague.com so you could hear this week's, because he will be posting it in one of our GroupMe rooms. He said he wasn't able to get back to his guitar in time to record a song, but he is going to do it, and it is going to be posted in our GroupMe rooms, and you can only be a part of that if you sign up at InThisLeague.com. So just letting you guys know that. Good sell there, Jack. He had a good question that I saw pop up everywhere. What was interesting about it is because I thought we were very well known for this, but he has a league or something like that. They're talking about splitting a pot, and it was a big amount of money. And his he has two questions in here. He goes, Bogman says he likes doing split pots in championships games. What say you? And he's asking me. And I feel like you and I have been very open about love chops. I think here's one of the reasons we like it more, because this is something that you took flack for in one of the leagues we did a long time ago, because this is how you always ran stuff. Bogman, in all the leagues we've ever played, never pays out more than first place, which I think 90% of people hate, from what I've garnered of being around them. People don't like that. And you have always played first place.
The same crybabies that don't like, not getting money for first place in the regular season and all that. For me, the way I do it, since we're trying to mirror the NFL, you don't get a ring for second place, right? So you don't get the trophy for second place. You actually do get a ring for second place. You get an AFC championship ring.
Yeah, you do.
But you don't get
a trophy. They do get money.
Well, the main prize that you're going after, that Super Bowl trophy, you don't get if you're second place. So for me, unless it's otherwise, and I tell the guys that are in the championship every single year, if you guys want to split, do it up. Do whatever you want. You guys decide that. For me, it's always winner take all in everything.
And that, but
best ball, winner take.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm not judging it. But like, people don't like
that. I'm just explaining my thought process.
Yeah, yeah. And yours makes
people that don't like it.
But I feel like you've always made that very clear, because you've always liked to mirror the real game as much as possible. And fantasy has moved away from that. Now, I'm about multiple spots. I think my perfect scenario is first, second, and then who finishes first place in the regular season. I like that as the three payout spots if I'm doing it. I don't like first, second, third, and then this over here and this over here. You don't need that much. But because we've always done first place, I mean, we've been splitting pots for 15 years, 20 years. We've been doing it all the time. It's, if I get to a championship game, my preferred way to go, this is how I like to do it. I like to go usually one third, and play for one third. So if you had, $800 on the line, I would probably go, let's split. How I would do it in my head, I'd say, let's split, $250, and then we'll play for the last three, or $300 and we'll play for two, like something like that. That's how I've always liked to do it. So I'm very pro split. If I was in a league that paid more spots, like 1, 2, 3 and first place, I might be less, because then the player pool is so down. But if Bogman and I had both reached a 3-sport championship, I would have immediately texted and said, hey, let's do our split. Let's each get this, and then we'll play for the extra $100 or $200. That's always kind of the fun for me, because you hate to walk out. But that's also why people play first, second, and third. I think there's no issues with splitting. I'm not sure if this came from a place where someone had an issue with splitting or something like that, but I got no issues with it whatsoever. I think it's great. It secures some stuff, but my preferred is split with a little bit left over to play for, and then everybody.
Yeah, I like the one third, play for one third. That's a good one. Sometimes it's just like, if you have a trophy plus money, let's just split the cash and play for the trophy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's a good point. Sure.
There's a little bit of that too. So however you got, and look, if you've been winning all year long and blowing everybody out by 50 points, you don't want to split, do that. But I guarantee you, I'm playing Kyle in ITL IDP. I can't remember if we do cash for that one or if it's all a ring. I'm not sure, but I'd be more than willing to split, even though I've been dominating everybody the whole year, because you'd never know what happens.
Yeah.
You know,
do what I do. Like I said, split play. That's when I have a dominant team, I don't like to screw around, but that's why I would rather be like, all right, because usually the pots will have, it's like, 50 buck league, you know, so maybe there's like $600 to $800 in there. So it's like, you know, hey, let's both walk away with $250 or $300 and then we'll just play for the rest. We both are happy no matter what. I'm dominant, so I think I'm going to get the rest, but I'm hedging my bet a little bit. But some people don't. We had a, it was like a 16 man league that we played in, and first place was like $1,200 or something like that. And I, Boggs, I remember you, we weren't in it, and you got the two people in, and one of the guys was like, no, I don't want to split. And he was like, oh, okay. Right. So they played all or nothing for the entire thing. And I don't remember. I think he might have lost. I hope he did.
He won.
Oh, yeah, that's sucky. That's unfortunate. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a very pro split. Hey, get some money in your pocket. Feel happy. A lot of work going on during the season. He also said, this is a great question. T. Higgins versus Kansas City or Ronald Jones versus the Jets? Ooh. Who do you start?
I think I start Ronald Jones for the guaranteed touches.
Man.
It's a tough call.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same thing because, like, the Jets are the worst. I just laid out Keyshawn Vaughn. My problem is it what if everything Tom Brady does, what if Ronald Jones, you know, has 120 yards, but it's on 13 carries with no touchdowns because every time they get in, Tom Brady's first thing he's going to do is he's going to throw the ball two times in the red zone within the five. He's going to throw it to Gronk Antonio Brown.
But here's my thing is, gun to your head, life on your line, on the line. Your life is on the line.
Yeah.
Who scores a touchdown, Ronald Jones or T. Higgins? I mean, it's always the running back, right? Yeah. Because of the guaranteed touches and the goal line touches. Like, Ronald Jones was getting goal line touches when Leonard Fournette was healthy. So I think that,
you know,
I'm playing that touchdown upside every time, and that's Ronald Jones in this scenario.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Here's what I'm going to say to Jack. I'll bet you, I mean, unless you're playing a 10-man league, I'll bet you T. Higgins is better than one of the wide receivers you're starting because you're clearly telling us your flex option. You're saying, hey, here's a flex. So are you sure the other two wide receivers are better than T. Higgins? I'm not so sure. I mean, Fantasy Pros got T. Higgins at 11 this week. So, you know, do you got Deebo Samuel Devontae Adams?
Then they are. Yeah. So
maybe you do. Then
yeah. This is why you're in the championship is because you have these decisions.
But Jets are the worst. Jets are the worst against RBs. They give up the most points. So that's why, you probably go with that. Great stuff, Jack. And again, you guys want to hear the final voicemail. I mean, maybe he'll have a week 17 one. And I'd be willing to throw the week 17 voicemail on Bet This League if he wants, or week 18 if he wants to do one final one. And then maybe we'll get some offseason ones. But InThisLeague.com, sign up is how you can get them. All right, we only got a handful of voicemails this week, so let's check out what we got. First one up, it is one that I had to download and then up because it was our boy Josh, who, by the way, has been very consistent as being like almost the first person every single time this year to get it in. So,
phrasing.
As I stalled this entire time, here we go. It's our boy Josh.
Hello, Bogman. Hello, Welsh.
Hello.
Hope you guys had a Merry Christmas.
Sure.
I, like you, had a rough week last week in fantasy football.
Yeah.
And I really don't care.
Nope.
What I do care about is this coming Monday.
Yep.
When the Cleveland Browns visit Heinz Field for Ben's last game there.
Oh, boy.
Since we don't have Thursday Night Football with Bogman this week.
No.
How about a little watch party? Maybe. Eh? Probably not. By the way, the Steelers. Hugs and kisses. Love, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. hopefully the people in your basement also had a Merry Christmas. You're not going to do any bet? No bets with him?
No, I don't ever do that. All right. The Steelers. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Just, oh boy, how happy are you going to be if the Steelers win that game, though?
I'm pretty happy. I mean, look, it's not... it's not going to be a regular, you know. Do you know what Ben's record during the regular season is against the Browns in his career?
No, like, idea.
He's played 29 games.
Okay, I'm going to guess he
this will be number 30.
20-9.
25-3-1 in the regular season. So three losses to the Browns in his career. So, it has been one-sided. Now, the Browns beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh in the playoffs last season. Remember, that was the big, unbelievably disgusting loss that I had to deal with that has since, sent this team into a tailspin. So, the Browns definitely deserve a win or two, and I will not, argue with that. But with It's old ass Ben versus 50% Baker Mayfield. Like, it's the grossest Steelers. It's the grossest Monday Night Football game maybe of the year, outside of, you know, Ian Book having to start for the Saints.
And you instantly shut it down Monday Night Watch. Just instantly.
No, that's not happening.
No chance.
No way. Okay. So
not like the Thursday night game.
Nope. You look, we tried it. It didn't work. So that's dead.
It almost worked when I showed up.
You want to do all of Monday Night Football with me?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Well, I mean,
I tell you what, we'll put it on the Welsh. If the Welsh wants to do the entire Monday Night Football game with me, I'll do it. But there's no way that'll happen, so I know I don't have to do it.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, so to get me to watch it, all you have to do is pay the Welsh somehow.
Hey,
so
I think
somehow
it's a great idea.
He's the guy getting the money here. See? So, yeah, that'll never happen, so easy. Right. I don't have to do it.
All right, here's our boy Elmo.
Hello, gentlemen.
Elmo.
Hey, buddy.
My question this week is not a start or sit player because my team sucked. I didn't make playoffs. Anyways, Cooper Kupp leads the whole NFL with 132 catches. Adams is second at 106 and Hill at 104. Can you guess who is number 4 with 98 catches and who is number 5 with 97? Anyways, love you guys. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
So wait, who the hell? Who was 1, 2, and 3? I know it was Kupp, Jefferson.
Why don't
who?
You look it up and I'll guess.
Okay, so hold on here.
You look up most receptions because I think Waddle has to be on that list. 98.
Okay, so did he give the top?
Give me
three?
One. He said 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so 1, 2, and 3 is Kupp at 132, Adams at 106, and Tyreek Hill at 104. So that leaves number 4 and 5.
And that was 98, 97?
Yes.
I gotta say Waddle is one of them.
He's number 6. With
number
96
six.
Catches, tied with Keenan Allen. That's amazing. Wow. You're going to have a rookie that's going to have over 100 catches in the rookie year. That's incredible.
Let me just look at the team list.
Both
quick.
NFC teams.
Both NFC teams. Okay. Yeah. We will go with... Ugh, God. I'm not seeing any good options.
We've actually kind
NFC
of like
teams.
Said their names already in passing. Remember, it's Kupp, Adams, and Hill.
Okay. Is one of them Debo?
No, Debo. No. Debo had like...
Lamb?
Nope.
No?
No, Lamb is way down here. Debo only has 70 catches on the year. It is not.
You're gonna Jefferson?
Jefferson's number 5 with 97.
Okay. And then...
Number 4.
The other guy, number 4 on an NFC team.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
he's now out for the year.
Chris Godwin.
90.
Yeah, I just saw the Bucs against the Jets and I went Antonio Brown, no way, it's got to be Godwin.
Pretty incredible also. By the way, Mark Andrews is 7 catches away from 1,000. So, you know, the extended year, from 100 catches. That'd be amazing. That'd be incredible. He's already over 1,100 yards. So
I
if
mean,
he
does, he's had a good past couple weeks.
If he pulls 7 in this week, then you can kind of give him the like, hey, in a regular season, he caught over 100. He's going to clearly go over that. And he's already almost at 1,200 yards. He legit might put up like 1,400 yards with.
Would you just
catches.
Draw the line here, by the way, on records? Like, would you just say.
Yes. I would
you draw the line right here and say the old records are old, the new records are new.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple years before anybody cares or gives credence to the 18th week. So that's why right. I think like everybody's looking at this. Like right now, the most amazing thing about Cooper Kupp, he has the first time he owns the triple crown of wide receiver stats right now. He leads in catches, yards, and touchdowns. And he very likely, as I'm looking here, let's see, in yards, no one will catch him. Catches, no one will catch him. And in touchdowns, the closest person is Mike Evans, who's out, and Adam Thielen. It's Jamar Chase and Devonta Adams, who have 4 less than him. So Cooper Kupp is going to end this year, most likely, with the wide receiver triple crown. It's incredible what he's done. So
he's been great. Yeah, and it's just adding, you know, getting Jared Goff out of there, putting Matt Stafford in, has made Kupp the best wide receiver in the league. So
he the best. All right, here's our boy Moyes.
Hey, guys. Moyes here.
What's up, buddy?
No song today, because I got to face Lieutenant Dawn in the finals of Superflex. I made 2 title games, and I'll ask you questions later, but right now, Dawn is the only thing on my mind. So, Lieutenant Dawn, you bring your Dak Prescott. you bring your Mac Jones, and I'll bring my Sam Darnold. And Sunday afternoon,
Sunday,
you might win the battle. But Sunday night, me, Devontae, and Thielen, hopefully, are going to win the war.
Whoops.
So I wish you all the luck, my friend, because you are going to need it. And may the best man win.
I'll come back to that. He's going to a championship fight with a Thielen. That's not good. He's going to an Adams fight with a Thielen, so that's not good. Let's go back to where he was getting all angry. All right.
Hey, guys. Hey. So in my other league, I'm wondering if I should start Terry McLaurin or Jacoby Myers. And am I crazy for starting Edmonds over Cordero Patterson? Thank you. Goodbye. Love you. 1 minute.
Bye. Love you. Oh, he did Elmo there, too. Jesus, that was a whole lot there, Moyes.
That was better than a song, I think. All right. So the first one was Edmonds versus Cordero Patterson, right? So
it's not crazy, but I would go, I'd go Patterson still. They're going to need the crap out of him. It's a bad matchup, but they're going to need the crap out of Patterson.
It's a bad matchup in Buffalo. Is there going to be weather stuff in Buffalo? Let me look. But let's see.
What was the wide receiver one?
You know what? Play that one again. Cause I can't remember.
Man, win.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So in my other league, I'm wondering if I should start Tang McLaurin or Jacoby Myers.
So Tang McLaurin or Jacoby Myers. You starting Tang?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Tang.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. I do like him, but if it's Terry McLaurin, and I know they're going to switch quarterbacks like I mentioned before.
I'm down on Tang right now.
Yeah, I don't. Tang is fine. I'm rolling with Tang.
All right, you like Tang. What about
23 degrees and foggy in the Bills game?
Ooh, so even better for Patterson.
How's that better for Patterson?
Running around, they can't see him. He's shifty. I'm Patterson.
I'm sure it's going to be that much fog. So,
ooh, what if it's one of those games we can't see, like on TV, where they're like, oh, I think the guy's out there.
Yeah. What is this stupid movie? Wasn't it just called The Fog, dumb movie with
I think so. Fantasy Pros rankers do have Edmonds over Patterson, by the way. They have Edmonds and Patterson as
that
a
That game's going to be in Dallas with no weather, and I think it's one of the higher overs of the week at 51.5. I think I'm going to go with that one. I think I'm going to go with Edmonds, especially, I tell you what, if Connor is out, definitely going Edmonds.
Oh, okay. That's a great point. That's a good point. If there is no Connor whatsoever, I agree. I think Connor will be there. He was such a late scratch. And if Connor's there, I'm going Patterson. So
I obviously think Connor will miss because that's what he does. So give me Edmonds.
You do hate him like that.
I don't hate him. I love James.
Here's our last one. For some reason, I sent over two Moises. It's a Barrow Rapport because we have no song. But it is the Barrow Rapport for Mr. Andrew Barrow. Ooh, copyright infringements. We can't just let the song go.
We love Henry Winkler.
Yep. Hey. Copyright. Can't play copyright music.
These sure are happy days. Right. Welcome to the Barrow Rapport. Last week, 4 out of my 7 teams got eliminated, and I was a sad panda. Not so much this week. All 3 of my teams moved on. The Vampire League going against Todd.
Wow.
The Auction League going against Ben S.
Jesus, dude.
And my home league going against my fantasy baseball tag team partner, Mojo Wilson. I better not lose to Chief Stack in the Vampire League against Todd. Lost to the Chief Stack earlier this year in the Guillotine League. Lock of the week, Patriots over Jags. Upset of the week, Lions over Seahawks. Ooh. Happy New Year. Best way to start the new year, fantasy baseball prep. Best place to prep in this league.
Got it.
Make a New Year's resolution to join. Get info to help you win championship and have so much fun. Later, Taters and Baiters. Atlanta, Washington. Let's go, Rams.
He got it. It was a minute and a half. He got all his little things in. That was a good sell. I like our guys are training themselves to sell the In This League. We don't even ask him to do it. He did have certain sick questions that I don't think he asked them. I have him here.
No,
on the email.
I think he said he put him in the email, but just okay. Real quick for the entry leagues, Barrow is playing Todd for the championship there. You heard Moyes do his Wrestling Cup promo versus Lieutenant Don.
Which is all like, ooh, I really like you and I want to be friends with you and maybe I'll beat you. But I don't know. You're really good, brother. You're a great guy. You sent Welsh a Debo helmet and you sent Bogman an autograph something. I don't remember. The
PPR is Barwich versus Bernard. Champs League is AA Ron or boy Aaron S versus Ian. And Guillotine already has been won by Tim E. He was the champ last week. So I'm thinking next year, because of the weirdness in the schedule, I think I might do like maybe week one, we don't cut anybody. And then like we all get a bye week. So if like you make it halfway through the year, we also have 1 week where nobody gets cut. So it goes all the way to the very end. Instead,
I think that's a good idea. 15, that's a great idea. Yeah, we'll see, some of the fun leagues we do. Well, congratulations to everybody except the PPR and Champs, where I should have been there, but I'm not. So everybody else, though.
You forgot about three sport also. No, you know, no fun for you in three sport or me. We both got eliminated. So yep,
care less.
That actually, who is in the championship? In
don't know, could sport. Care less.
It's Brian and Fam. So good luck, boys.
Good luck, Brian. Yeah, good luck, Brian.
Good luck.
That is it. There's no more voicemails, and there's no more voicemails throughout. We are going to be doing some over on the baseball side if you're a baseball guy, but don't worry. We are going to continue doing stuff here. Next week, we're going to be doing a very early mock draft. We're going to be doing it with our Patreon people. Would you look at that? Our boys, we appreciate all of them, and they're going to help take part in. Probably won't do, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be imperative to do like a full one, but doing the first couple rounds is what I want to break down. That's what's important, because we're not going to have rookies included. And, you know, very likely, you know, you're going to have some of the guys that get drafted and their spots are going to be important. So like the first 3-4 rounds is really what we're going to focus on, but we'll have a very early mock draft. We're also going to have Bet This League episodes for sure this week, next week, and we'll probably do a playoff edition. We've been at a pretty good run. I think we were both 3-2 on our big bets. Bogman, I mean, really has been, he was 4-1 for 3 straight weeks, 1 bad week, and then back to 3-2. And we'll be doing all the betting stuff right here on Bet This League. So make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast and don't go anywhere. Go to thisleague.com if you want to make sure you don't miss anything. Off-season mock drafts that we'll be doing, a lot of draft coverage as well. And you get to take part in it. The big thing, like ITL is like a big community, as you can tell by our awesome listeners. And hopefully you want to be part of one in the new year. So we'd love to have you. Good luck, guys. A lot of stuff going down. No Thursday night game. We will be back for Bet This League, and we will be rocking with you for your championships.
We're
we'll
going to do a Thursday night football for the bowl game that is on at that normal time. So we will have like
Thursday night football.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll do it, not NFL football, so we won't be covering the NFL stuff, but the Thursday evening game, I believe, is the Peach Bowl. It's Pittsburgh versus Michigan State. So, I mean, that usually is a new year.
I bet that for my boy Pickett.
You can, but Pickett will not be playing. So
and I will not be betting. Oh, did he opt out because of the draft?
Yeah, he's going to the draft. So
Okay. Who's the other team?
Michigan State. So Kenneth Walker also opted out, their best player. So, you know,
the running back.
Yeah, the running back. So no good options. Gonna be that's why we're gonna play Family Feud.
I was gonna say them by a gajillion.
You know what else we're gonna do, Welsh? Not just Family Feud, Oregon Trail. We're bringing it back. So come on in. That's right.
Nice.
I gotta decide which ladies of the evening are gonna be riding in the wagon with me again. So we'll see.
Oh, okay. Very, very.
Maybe
nice.
maybe we'll stick it to favorite only can only fans accounts.
So. There you go. Also, in this the twitch.tv/inthisleague. We've got that football break is going to be happening very soon. We're going to be doing some other content in this as well, as also with the video games and stuff. And as I mentioned before, if you have an Amazon account, you get a free sub to any of the Twitch accounts that you want. So if you've never done it before, you can use your Amazon account. Cost you nothing. You can subscribe. It gets rid of ads. It gets you some other features. And you're supporting us on our Twitch for us to do some new stuff. Really want to do some new stuff in the new year. So hopefully you guys are around and want to subscribe and check us out. That's the song, because there's no voice mail this week. We had no music to take you on. Da 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 da. We're gonna go. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Goodbye.
See ya. Good luck.
Rhyme. There was no rhyme.